Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Bare Knuckles. And I am here with Jerry Hall and myself, Lupusol, and he just informed me that it went out a little too loud. So I'll make sure that I turn that down. I have to adjust something. Anyway, if you come on over to the Trim Radio Network, you can listen in, you can chat with us, you can buy merchandise right off of our network right there. And if you want to be a part of the Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us and we'll show you how easy it is. The opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. That song right there, Play the Game, that's Kansas. That's covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. We do have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. All you have to do is call in, and we'll listen to your opinion. We'd love to have it. Just no cussing, no foul language. Anyway, without further ado, I'm going to give you right to Jerry as I check out this setting.
Hey, so good to be on here tonight, Michael. I think we got some great issues to talk about. There's a bunch of crap hitting the press today, talking about what Kamala Harris is doing about immigration. Then a congressman-elect in New York is getting bombarded by the press saying his credentials aren't valid. He bogused all of his education and work experience, and it's not legitimate. And he's the first, they said he's the first LGBTQ, whatever it is. I can never remember what the initials all stand for. candidate elected in the Republican Party. And also the latest, wait a minute, what's his name? His name is New York Times smeared to congressman-elect George Santos. Republican first hit morning memos radar a week ago, but he was one of the attendees of the New York City gala. Here they are attacking any Republican in any which way they can, claiming they couldn't verify his education records, which, who knows? They probably called the secretary and said, hey, did this guy ever go to college there? And the woman went, I don't know. That was it. That's all they do. They don't verify or they don't do anything other than accuse and point blame at somebody.
Yeah, and the sad part is as soon as the Republicans want to start investigations, those are bogus, those are conspiracy theorists, those are this and that. And they slander and defame and do everything against the Republicans. And then when the Republicans, put somebody on up there, then they sit there and do that, and it's justified. And that's what really is hurting our world today. That is what is hurting the United States today. And it's just a shame. And we're seeing it in everything. And we had a question from last week. And I stated this, and of course Jerry and I disagreed on this. Are there any good people that are up in office anymore? And of course, Jerry says, yes, he believes there are. But when we get them up there, then you see stuff like this. So what do you do?
Well, I think the reality of it comes to play that good people get corrupted. Okay. That's what it boils down to. Good people go to Washington in hopes that they have this idea that they're going to help, and they get sucked in by the money and the power and the notoriety and the celebrity status that they get. And all of a sudden they transform into one of the elite. And that's the problem I think we see in any elected official that stays in there too long. Our problem is we're not electing them out when we should after 2 years. They should be gone.
Yeah, they're like
let new blood get in.
They're like a baby's diaper. It should be changed. It should be changed often.
Exactly. And the reality of it, that's a perfect analogy, too. what happens to the crap? Well, now, and here's another one. Sexual harassment allegations, not a deterrent to a White House nominee of the former L.A. Mayor Garcetti. I mean, we're tolerating this horrible behavior and endorsing it in Washington, D.C. This is what America's come to. The degenerates are running the country.
Yeah, very, very much so. And to the politician who believes that looking at little children and it is a and I'm not even going to say the name because it just disgusts me so much that she even opened her mouth. But looking at little children and calling it a MAP, which is a minor attractive personality syndrome, and making it okay, sound okay, is not acceptable. I'm sorry. It's not acceptable. No. You're sick. You need some help. There's wonderful medications out there that are available to most of the Congress and everybody else. Seek them. Take them. You are in need. You just don't know it.
Well, the problem is that we're not, but the Democratic Party accepts that behavior as normal. You know, oh, okay, well, he's a pedophile. He's a child molester. It's okay. He's, you know, he only did it. This guy did it only like five times when he got caught. He sexually advances against the male LAPD officer assigned to Garcetti's security deal, as well as a male reporter, the fiance of an office communication director, and other whistleblowers have brought to light that this guy is, you know, it's just a friggin' joke. And yet, if that had happened to a Republican, that the press would ostracize him in a heartbeat and he would never get nominated, period. But, you know, we look at the Democratic Party, how they have gone to the point, they've just gone to extremes. And now they're saying that they're going to file criminal charges against Trump for the 8 August or January 6th Insurrection Act. Baloney.
Yeah, to me... Here's something I want to play for everybody. And I want people to hear this real good. So let's hopefully it comes through.
Government what to do. It doesn't tell us. We the people are the driver. The government is the car. And we decide where it should go and by what route and how fast. Almost all the world's constitutions are documents in which governments tell the people what their privileges are. We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us. We the people are the driver. The government is the car. And we decide where it should go and by what route.
That was from Ronald Reagan. The last true president, I believe, that we've had in this country. He had a great perspective on rights, rules, regulations, and everything, but he was very quick to state out, no, you work for the people. We work for the people. You know, they don't work for us. It got turned a long time ago. Now we want to normalize disgusting, sickening, perverted, just ideology. And make it okay. And if we can talk the people into it, oh, that even the better. And that's what we're facing. And I think that you're right, Jerry. You know, when they stay in there too long, it begins to stink, which is why I say the politicians are like diapers. They need to be changed and often. I mean,
the problem we have is the lobbyists. And once they started the lobbying, allowing the lobbyist in there, that's what killed the American government. Because special interest groups pay through the nose to get a congressman to bend their way, and then they get perks from it. It's like Nancy Pelosi getting $5 million windfall from Visa going public years ago because she had the insight and she was over the committee controlling the legislation to allow that company to become public. Now, you think that's not, you know, I mean, what a deal. I'd love to be in a position where I could influence making millions of dollars off my knowledge. You know, and then they say insider trading is illegal, except if you're a congresswoman.
Yeah, listen, her diaper should have been changed a long time ago. I'm just going to tell you, she needs to go. She needs to go, and I'm glad she's out of one part of it now. I do not have to listen to her voice again as far as her being on that podium and just saying the completely idiotic things that she used to say. What a blessing. Thank you, God. One well, down.
You know, if
hundreds to go.
Well, have you heard about the lawsuit that is being filed against 358 congressmen, including Biden and Kamala Harris? The lawsuit states, it's at the Supreme Court right now, that if a legislator has any inkling of voter fraud and they don't investigate it, then they're liable of breaking the law and can be removed from office.
Well, they should be anyway. It's fraud. That's like exactly. Knowing of a crime. If you know of a crime and you're not preventing it, and you know and it happens, you are basically aiding and abetting.
Yeah, right.
You're aiding it because you're not preventing it and abetting it. You're letting it happen. You're letting it go through. You're letting it to be carried out. No, absolutely. I have no problem with that. To me, I think it's a travesty of justice if you know that the crime took place and you did nothing about it and said, I don't want to get involved. No, especially when you're in a political office. That is exactly when you're supposed to be. You are supposed to be a leader and stand up and say, this isn't right.
Yeah, well, the problem is it doesn't apply to the Democrats. It doesn't apply to them. You know, we're untouchable. You know, years ago in Houston, I was privy to some information that I found out was illegal. And I turned it over to the district attorney in Harris County. And I was at dinner with one of the people that later got prosecuted. And this was a Hispanic councilman. His name was Ben Reyes. And he sat at dinner with me and he goes, I'm untouchable. Nobody can touch me. There, I am so protected. Nobody can touch me. He ended up going to prison for 5 years. And I think that just shows the fact that, you know, people think they're untouchable because of their so-called protection. It's gotten worse now. The Democrats are protecting all these criminals. And you look at, anybody that goes against the Democratic Party either ends up winding up dead or discredited one way or another. And the fear comes to play with, you know, okay, so what does a private citizen do? And, you know, you don't dare stand up. It's like when I stood up and helped get six city council members indicted in Harris County in 1990 or 89 or something like that, a long time ago. I went to the district attorney and I said, hey, am I going to get some protection? These people are pretty powerful. And he goes, this is not the movie theater. We don't do that. He said, you're on your own. You came to us. You offered this information. We don't have any responsibility other than the fact to follow it up, investigate it, and see if there's, you know, crime activity. And if they get prosecuted, you know, and you have to testify, the guy said, well, if I was you, I'd get a self-start car, remote starting for your car, and I'd get a gun and keep it under your pillow. And I was like, holy crap, is this real? And they, you know, it is. They don't. So a lot of people are afraid to come forward with that, you know, type of, you know, problem. You know, there's no protection for somebody that, you know, is testifying or helping getting someone prosecuted. And years ago, then I got a constable indicted, sent to federal prison for 5 years, and now he's one of the most powerful religious leaders in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, I'm
and
sorry.
So I'm
one of those people. I'd give my own mother a ticket. I'm sorry.
I just don't like crooks. Period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And so I mean.
I don't even know. You don't even know where to go with something like this. You know, to me. You know, if you're going to tell me something like that or say something like that, You probably shouldn't tell it to my ears, because once I hear it, if I know you're doing it, I'm turning you in. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, we have an obligation to do what's right out there. Do the people have the guts to do that? No, because you know why? We see in the press that somebody stands up and pretty soon they're prosecuted, they're charged. It's like this guy running for Congress in New York who ran and successfully beat a Democrat. And now they're coming after him saying he lied about his education, he lied about his work experience, he lied about everything like that, trying to see if they can get him ousted. Well, we see what's happening with Carrie Lake in Nevada. He's going after them, guns a-blazing, and she has a pretty good case to warrant the fact that this election could be overturned, which will be the basis of the future or even the past elections that may be overturned. You look at Georgia, you know, in this last election, I predicted the results on that from day one. You know why? They were going to do mail-in ballots just like they did in the previous election. And sure enough, they used them. They did it. And a million mail-in ballots, unheard of in a runoff.
Listen, yeah, that thing was, you know, I don't buy that election, and I'll tell you why. First of all, they came after Herschel all of a sudden with this abortion thing. Now, these are the same people who turned around and said abortion is good. And then they put him out there and say, well, he paid for a girl's abortion. Okay? And basically hung him out to dry. And I thought the hypocrisy is huge. You want abortion.
Totally. Well, yeah.
But you want a select abortion. And that's what they did to Herschel. And to me, and that hurt his reputation. And of course it affects the voting. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you're not voting on this guy whether he could be great in office or not. Now you're voting on him on his character, of something he said he had no knowledge of when he gave the money, that's what it was going to be used for. But now, now the very thing that you want to have happen, which is a travesty, that he did, you're not saying, oh, okay, well, you know, you used it against him. And I just was like, wow, you know?
Well, you know, it's a double hypocrisy. You know, they want, it's like, okay, ironically, this happened to me about a year ago. I had an HOA president for my homeowners association who was a diehard Democrat. And so, or it's been 2 years ago, I guess. And so we're talking about the homeowners association, stuff like that. And his off remark, he jumps in there and says, you're just like that damn Trump, pardon my language. And I said, wait a minute, please, let's not talk about politics. And when we're talking about homeowners association, it has nothing to do with it. And so sure enough, he comes back, well, you're just like that daggum Trump. And I said, let me ask you this then. You're a diehard Democrat, right? He goes, yep. Believe in the philosophy, believe in our ideals. I like them a lot. I said, I'm going to come and break in your house. What are you going to do to me? He goes, I'm going to shoot you. And I said, so I got thought. You hypocrite Democrat. You want everybody else to not have guns, but you want to have them. And you want to use them when you think an injustice is happening against you, but you don't want anybody else to have them. That's the problem with the Democratic Party. Double standard for everything.
Oh, come on. In Pennsylvania, they don't want you to shoot the criminal. You're going to go to jail. After all, it's just stuff. Isn't that what the one Democratic senator or a congressperson said, it's just stuff. Let them have it. And I'm thinking, no, you're coming into my castle. You're coming into my house. I don't know that you want to steal just stuff. If I think you're coming into my home, I think you're coming in to hurt me. Because if you know I'm home, then you know there's a chance for a confrontation, which means to get my stuff, you're willing to kill me for my stuff. Therefore, you're coming to kill me. No. I'm sorry. You come into the house, and be it you are an armed homeowner protecting your castle, you're protecting your castle. Don't come in. That's why there's locks on the doors, locks on the windows. If you violate those and you break into those, you have already created a crime. You have already made a crime scene. You have already done everything according to the law that has been in place forever. You are committing a felony. So therefore, I'm sorry. I totally disagree with that philosophy. That, you know, for him to say something like that is just, oh my gosh. You know, that's the problem. We don't want to follow the law. We want the law to be whatever they want it to be at their time to use to their advantage for their gain. It doesn't
work. Well, that's exactly what they do.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they do. The whole premise is, we're right, you're wrong, and that's all the way it is.
Yeah, that's it.
And we don't care what you think. We can do whatever we want. If we want to do child molesting, that's our thing. If we want to, you know, change the laws like Biden's trying to do about the election state from New Hampshire to South Carolina, look at that. You know, and everybody's upset about that, even the Democrats. And it says it's going to end up hurting the party.
Every time he talks, it hurts the party.
Exactly. I mean, it's just on and on.
Listen, I hate to say it, but this guy might be a godsend, really, for the Republican Party. We just give it time. I mean, it's the same same thing with his, we're going to pay off everyone's student debt. Never mind if it was legal to do or not. We're going to do it because I'm the president, and by God, nobody F's with the Biden. And, you know,
well, that's just it.
And all of a sudden, they stepped into the Supreme Court. You can't do that. You were never in power to do that. You were never supposed to do that. So now it's temporary. We're going to resume it later. We're going to get something passed to make it a law now. And to me, I just think, wow, you didn't like the end result. That was the same thing with the Supreme Court. Remember, they said, well, because it is mostly right now, and it's just the way the chips fell, that it's more Republican than Democratic. We're going to put more people in there so that it becomes Democratic.
Right.
Really? That's how this works? So
yeah.
By the time we're said and done, the Supreme Court ought to be filled with about 25 to 50 people. I mean, here we go. Never mind. And most people don't realize the Supreme Court does not make law. They do not make law. They interpret law. They interpret what law is. That's it. That is their key job, is to say, is this law? Is this not law? We're not making it. They're not making the rules for it. I got news for you. Your Congress and your Senate and the President does that. They do not do that.
Yeah, Supreme Court is supposed to just interpret the law.
That's
and make
it.
Sure that. And that's it.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is that now the Democratic Party wants the Supreme Court to make law.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. And
no, and the problem is they're planning, they want to stack the Supreme Court. Well, that day is over now.
Yeah, they wanted to stack the deck. Of course, we don't like how this is working out for us. It's not working out because they're following the law and you know, deciding that is what the law says. And now, because we don't like it, well, let's stack the deck.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, that's just it. And you know, that happened once before. See, the Supreme Court has been stacked once before. This isn't the first time it happened. It happened with, I'm trying to think who was the president that did this. It used to be 5 Supreme Court justices. And now we have what, 8?
9.
9. And so here it is. It used to be 5. Now it's 9. So somebody else tried to do that once before. Obviously, it didn't work out for them.
Yeah.
But they're going to try it again. Let's go to 15 15 sounds good.
Like I said, it'll be its own entity again sometime or another. I mean, it's
exactly.
the stupidity is just going and going and going, and it's just... It's like a train that no one's driving the engine. It's just running.
Well, I'm just reading right now. Biden receives his midterm report card from Americans on the economy. When asked about his performance with regard to the economy, a Nebraska resident said on the economy, I would give Joe Biden F. We're still dealing with rapid inflation. Our gas prices have been skyrocketing ever since he canceled the pipeline. When asked the same question, a Texas resident had very different answer. He's doing a good job keeping it together and trying to help people like that need it. Where is this guy's brain? on immigration. Phoenix, Arizona resident was asked how Biden was handling the border crisis. She gave bid a failing grade. Related video. Democrat, I don't know why Biden administration keeps avoiding the border. The same Texan, however, gave Biden a C or a D. It really isn't his fault. The generational problem, that's going to take a long time to correct, he admits. I was like, what? That's the problem.
Generational problem. No, it's a door problem. Close it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a door.
Exactly.
Okay, you could have the best lock on the market today. You know, the XM 2002. It's got one flaw. The door must be closed.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's...
It's hilarious because we talk about, you know, and they talk one of, you know, on climate relations, you know, that's another one he failed on. You know, here we are trying to push electric cars, which do more environmental damage than a gas car does.
Oh, just wait till the batteries start dying when they start redoing those things. It's like burying nuclear waste.
Well, that's just it. It's hilarious to see that these people are running down this path going, electric is going to save our environment. No, it's to dig for the material for the batteries is devastating the land horribly. And so, and it needs gas-powered trucks to dig up the product. So here we are polluting, destroying the earth for components for batteries, which we're not going to be able to get rid of. It's not something that can be reused, or it's a consumable. It goes away. And then they got to figure out, where are we going to bury these things, these thousands and hundreds of thousands of batteries? You know, now Elon Musk, I have to admit, one thing he did do, his batteries last for 500 to a million miles now. That's pretty good. You know, where the other cars, I was thinking about buying an i8 years ago. And, you know, the car was about an $85,000 car, and I thought this would be kind of fun to have. And so then I went to the car dealership, and I asked him, I said, you know, this is a hybrid. It's part battery, part gas. And I said, when do I need to replace the batteries? He goes, every 50,000 miles. And I said, well, wow, that's, you know, that's pretty quick. What's the battery going to cost? $15,000. I was like, every 50,000 miles, I've got to replace a battery in this thing for $15,000. Who in their right mind would buy that car?
And people are flocking to go buy them. Why? Oh, well, it'll pin you back in the seat. They're fast and everything else. Yes, they're fast. That's great. And they'll get your kids killed and get everyone killed because they are fast. There's no question about that. But they're unreliable in so many other ways. They're junk. Junk. Okay, that's really all they are. They do not impress me at all. I, you know, and that's my own personal opinion. I'm not buying one. I'm not in on it.
Well,
I can't buy it. I don't see myself getting in on one. Stick me with an old gasoline engine. Let me tell you, bang for the buck. You know, and even Kia's jumping into this now. I got a Kia K5, and I'm going to tell you, that thing gets phenomenal gas mileage. It's very good on the, you know, as far as on the environment. Good driving luxury car. Gas driven. I'm not waiting for a charging station, you know. I mean, when you're battery, you're on a trip. Good luck for a charging.
You know, I've seen this pretty funny. I saw a Tesla pulled over on the side of the road with a generator parked beside it, charging the car up.
Yeah, gas generator.
Yeah, gas generator. I was like, pretty funny. And then the Tesla cars that are the that go out and pick up the Tesla cars if they're, you know, if a battery dies or something like that, are gas based.
Yep.
So, you know, okay, what's the logic in that? I thought we had electric cars that could last forever, and here we are. We're supposed to be going, oh, electric cars are going to save the world? No, they're frankly not. I have a friend that just bought one. He's like, I'll never buy a gas car again as long as I live. I love this car. I was like, right, wait till the world changes.
Listen, you've got companies out there that know that they pollute. They're polluting, but they buy credits. That's what they do. From other companies, they sell credits, and you know, to where they can get around the polluting. You understand?
Well, where do you think John Kerry made his money?
Oh yeah, man.
That's from doing that exactly.
That's what they do. They buy pollution credits or these tax credits for polluting, basically. Listen, we could do so much better with technology in other ways. Like on some of these big companies that are making stuff that they are polluting, let's get better filters inside their chimneys. Let's do some things that will really help.
Well, you know, if they would just simply put a burner at the top of their chimney, which would burn off the excess pollution, then that alone could save a lot. But do they do that? No, not at all. They'd rather just buy the credits from somebody else.
That's right. And there are companies out there that sell them. So there's millions getting spread around and everybody like that. People don't know that. People don't have any clue to that. They don't know that these credits are available. They don't know that other companies buy them from one company to another. They don't know that. And the problem is really isn't all in the United States, but other countries that have no such things in place. And so then you want to get on and you want to have this climate thing for the rest of the world. Well, that's great. Except if they don't follow it, it's not going to matter.
Well, that's just it. The problem is, the reality of it is that I was in China years ago and I'm walking around in China and, you know, and I'm having a little tough time breathing. I'm not thinking anything of it because, you know, I just came from the United States. And everybody's wearing masks. This was back when there was no pandemic. It was just people were wearing masks. And I, you know, so finally I was talking to a Chinese person that lived there. And I said, why do you wear a mask? He says, because we have this very bad problem with pollution that is because we all in our homes, to heat our homes, we have to burn coal. And so the coal is not, you know, there's no way to prevent it from, you know, polluting the, you know, the atmosphere or the, you know, the air in the community. And I said, well, and I noticed that the sky was dark, you know, it wasn't clear. And it seemed to be, you know, like there was a haze. And so I asked him, I said, you know, when do you get to see blue skies? And the guy said, What are you talking about?
You are.
I said, blue skies. Blue skies. Simply, you know, a blue sky. He goes, I'm 36 years old, and I have never in my life seen a blue sky.
No.
I was like, unbelievable.
No, because they're not going to follow it, okay? They don't have the same philosophies or anything else. And yet, the more that... you know, we're handing out all of our technologies and everything. They're not going to follow this stuff. Understand that. They're not.
Well, they don't have to, and they don't want to.
It's not our country.
You look at India and all these other countries, they're just laughing at us going, no, the stupid ones, you know, here we are. They're stopping their, you know, production and all this. They're going to save the world, and we're just laughing our butts off. We have no intentions of following their stupidity. And, you know, then they also say now that what they were doing is the World Health Organization has come in and said, we need to force this solar system or solar panels and wind turbines in Germany. Okay. They had their first disaster on that not too terribly long ago when the winter set in and the solar panels and the wind turbines didn't work. So here they had moved to this renewable energy, and guess what? They had no energy. So it just blew up in their faces.
Yeah.
And it's because of the stupidity of these people. It's like in Texas. 2 years ago, they have these, you know, if you drive through Texas, man, there's wind turbine farms everywhere, all over Texas. I was driving through the northern part, and I have never seen so many wind turbines in my life. And so Texas had an unusual thing. They had this unusual weather come in, and it was freaking people out because it snowed in Houston, which is a rarity, okay? So you know, here they're jumping on it. The environmentalists, here we are. You know, the world's freezing all because of the environment is being corrupted. Well, what was a friend of mine living in Houston took some of the snow that was falling in their backyard, and they lit a match to it, and it caught fire. How many snow flakes have you ever seen catch fire?
Like I said, unbelievable what chemicals and everything else that we got.
Well, here's what the theory was, that they had been, now prior to that, this lady had said she had seen repeatedly jet trails in the sky for weeks before this happened. And they were wondering if the government was seeding the clouds to do this, especially over Texas, because Texas was diehard Republican and the Democrats were doing this. And they said that what happened on the onset of that was all the solar panels got covered. So there was no, for not producing any electricity, and the wind turbines froze up. So they had no solution for any electricity because they were too in depth in this environmental protection stuff.
Yeah, well, we've done such a great job. People have done such a great job. All the people that sit here and say climate change and this and that. You sucked the Colorado River, Lake Mead, Lake Powell, Euphrates River. You're sucking them all dry, okay? I mean, and it's going on all over the place. We're going to have a water problem. And I've been saying this now for over a year, where we're going to have a major water problem. It's already happening. We're already seeing it. And
we're going to see more of it.
Oh, we're going to see a lot more of it.
You also look in Louisiana, where they've got such polluted water down there. They're begging the U.S. government to come in and help them out. But instead, where are we sending our money? To Ukraine, for them to survive the winter. Yet our people are suffering and don't even have any water because the federal government's taking that money and sending it to Ukraine.
Listen, the next gold will be water eventually. Just wait. It will be. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy, but that's exactly what's going to happen. And everything is going to dry. It's going to be Deadpool. It's 37 feet away from Deadpool. You realize that? It's 37 feet away from Deadpool status, which means that really they can't run the hydro whatever to generate power, you know, out of Hoover. There's no way, because they don't have enough pressure, so they'll have to let it go through the other gates that let flow come down the river. I mean, it's incredibly stupid how we've handled this, and the people, the states that are involved, all can't come to an agreement on it. So by the time it's said and done, Lake Powell, Lake Mead, and everything will become Deadpool status. How do you drain the Colorado River? I mean, come on.
Well, they're managing to do a lot of environmental damage under the premise of saving the environment.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Let me save the environment by destroying it first, and then we'll restore it after that, back to where it should be. You know, it's like, are you beyond stupid?
It's going to take years, years and years and years. And I mean, we suck the resources out of the earth, and people don't realize it. Okay, you start messing with the earth, and you start digging and doing all this. You know, methane gas and all these things are below the surface for a reason. They're a cushion. I mean, and we're fracking, we're doing all these different things, you know, taking all the things out of the earth. And we think that we're great at what we do and everything. Oh, we've got a problem. That could be more of your climate problem than anything. I mean, it's just unreal. It's just unreal.
Well, we got the blind following the blind is the problem. And the idiot, one idiot, you know, I mean, some of the stupidity of these people is amazing, that it's like, okay, the Democratic Party right now, we love Joe Biden. Gas prices are through the roof. We don't have food on the shelf, and we can't get transportation, and we can't get baby formula, but we love our president because he's doing a great job. And then they kick somebody out, like Trump, because they didn't like his tweets. Okay. The guy turned the economy around, did all kinds of good stuff, saw the best prosperity this country's ever seen, and started turning it around so we weren't giving money away to foreign countries. But they don't like his tweets. And so this always amazed me how they can justify that Joe Biden is doing such a great job. I'm still baffled. He shuts down the pipeline, and then gas prices go through the roof. But he saved the environment for the environmentalists and then really destroyed the economy. Because you know what? What was interesting about that, shutting the pipeline down did this. It caused more trucks to get on the road to transport fuel to other cities. So here he's thinking he's saving the environment when he's destroying it even more. And the cost of transportation to and from places now is through the roof. So a lot of places are just saying, you know, forget it. We're just not gonna ship anything. We can't see the forest for the trees with these people.
Listen, people can't see a lot of things, and it's just the way it is. And I've just come to accept it that, you know what, they don't want to see it. They don't want to acknowledge it. They don't want to see it. They want to rely on them, and that's what they want to do. They want to live a mundane life and rely on them. I'm convinced of it. I mean, it's...
Well, it's that like that movie Vendetta, if you never saw it, it was pretty good. And it talks about how the government created this fear tactic, warmongering, that the government was the only one that could save you. So by doing that, they were going to invoke all these controls and mandates for businesses, for private sector, for everything. And some guy stood up and said, you know, enough is enough. And he was going to blow up the parliament in England. And he was started getting people out there to amass, you know, a status of, okay, rebellion against the government. It's time we stop. Well, what's starting to happen in Washington, D.C., that's just happening now. The residents said, enough is enough of the crime going on here. And so what they've done is they rebelled. They went into the city council and said, if you don't do something to stop this, we're going to make sure you don't get elected, and we're going to make sure that we make your life miserable. And so all of a sudden they went, oops, we need more policemen. We need more better rulings, no more mandated reduced sentences, and no more this and no more that. We're going to actually take a stand against crime. What are these people thinking in the first place? They should have been doing it all along. You know, this defund the police, and the first people that should be robbed are the Democrats. And yet Nancy Pelosi says, get rid of guns, but not my protection detail. Get rid of a fence, but not around my house. Get rid of any kind of protection you might have, be it a billy club or a nightstick. Oh, we can't have those either because we don't want to hurt anybody. That's breaking into our house and beating your husband senseless. Yep. That went over real well. So, but yet they want us to follow their stupid standards and not protect ourselves.
You know, you could see that on the police cars now. Now they're called peace officers instead of police officers. Peace officers. Okay?
And I hadn't noticed that.
And I've seen it a lot on a lot of the police cars, you know. And it's just like, wait a minute. You know, the whole idea of you is, you know, to protect and to serve. No, now we're peace officers. No more protecting and serving. It's now, let's defund the police. We've made them so hated and everything. God bless them. I mean, yeah, are there always some bad apples? Well, if it's unacceptable to Congress, and Congress has a God knows how many bad apples up there, and you accept that, And yet you want to defund the police. Not one person said defund Congress. And I think to myself, oh my goodness, you know, these people are more corrupt than the criminals that they're trying to arrest. I mean,
well, another thing that I always laugh at, Social Security's going broke, but not welfare.
Yeah. Well, that's because they can pillage from Social Security.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's the problem with our government right now. They're going, well, let's just take out, you know, and who was it? J. Edgar Hoover did that. I think that's who did it, said we can now take the money from Social Security and redirect it to whatever general fund we need to do. And it's not going to hurt Social Security at all. Right. But now they're saying, well, it's going to go broke in a few years. Okay. You think there won't be one hellish, retaliation against them if that happens?
No, they'll just raise the age again. That's all they'll do. They're already talking about it. They're talking about raising it from 70 to 72, and some are saying 75. So now you can work till you're 75 years old. You get that? You remember when it used to be 60 or 65?
It used to be 55.
Yeah, and now we're gonna raise that on up. We're gonna get it 72 or 75, because more people will be dumping into it for longer. That's right. You're not going to get a break. Like I told you, out of all the things that you can do to people to tear a country apart, work them to the bone until they die. And what enjoyment what enjoyment are you gonna have out of it? What, 4 years before you become sick? You sick enough or whatever because your body is decaying? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be old enough to be into the Social Security and reaping my benefits. And hopefully, you know, which is really sucks, because if I'd taken that money and invested myself, I'd have a lot more money than I'm getting from Social Security. You know, they want, okay, a lot of people out there are not prepared. They didn't prepare their life for retirement. They just flat didn't do it.
You couldn't do it.
And so.
You couldn't do it.
Yeah, you could. And I did it. Yeah. My plan was to be debt free by the time I turned 62 and to not spend any more than I could take in with Social Security. Okay. So I planned for that. I plotted for it. I saved for it. I did everything in my power to make sure that that happened. And that's what happened. I'm financially stable enough that if all my investments went south on me, I could live off Social Security because my house is paid off. My cars are paid off. I have no debt.
So, that's good that some people can, but some people also face... Hey, they run into health problems ahead of time, beyond their control.
That's the other's problem.
Okay, they're right. Beyond their control. Some of them. Well, look at how jobs are. Jobs aren't loyal like they used to be. Don't tell me jobs are loyal. I've seen people work for companies for 20 years, and all of a sudden, what they'll do is they'll get rid of them because they'll bring in somebody that's fresh, and they'll say, "Oh yeah, now we got somebody in here that's fresh, and we're not paying them half what we were that big sum." That we're paying somebody else. I mean,
exactly, and that's the problem. You have to maintain good health, which is not everybody can do that. I mean, there's crises that happen to people, and get devastated with the medical bills and the cost. That's another thing that should be implemented in our society. Okay, we should have, you know, people that are indigent should be able to have free medicine. I wholeheartedly believe that. But, you know, you should be able to strive and try to make a living to protect yourself. But, you know, some people just can't. It's an impossibility. Is it their fault? No, not at all. It's a cause of life. Life in general creates these hardships on people, and the government should understand that. And there should be a pitfall for that. Like, okay, first of all, you go into a hospital, and the aspirins are like, $20. That's absurd. You know, and you go in. Now, one thing I did notice this a couple of years ago, several years ago, I had to go get an x-ray, and I didn't have health insurance at the time.
And I went to my doctor and I said, listen, you know, he said, you need to get an x-ray. And I said, well, I can't afford it. And he goes, well, why not? And I said, well, I don't have insurance and I can't afford it at this time. And he goes, let me make a call. He calls over to the hospital and I got it for free, which means they have the flexibility to be able to do stuff for free if you say the right thing.
Which and is, I'm sucks. Poor. Which is, I'm poor.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, at the time, I really wasn't poor. I just said I didn't have health insurance, and I didn't really want to pay for the expense of having, you know, to pay the like $500 for an x-ray.
Listen,
and so I
it's an eminence front, man, all the way around.
it's just such a scam that, you know, people don't realize that, you know, these hospitals are overcharging, and then they get subsidies from the federal government. That's another thing that ticks me off. Now, here's another example. A friend of mine who inherited $1.5 billion, okay, had been giving money to Baylor Hospital she had given him $100 million over the span of a few years. $100 million. That's a ton of money. And guess what? When she got sick, they charged her for her medical care at ridiculous rates.
Of course they did.
Now there's a prime example where hospitals don't care and they get funding from very wealthy people, hundreds of millions of dollars, and yet they turn on them like a badge of you know,
Wolverines,
of savage dogs.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Jerry, we got about 3 minutes left. Any final thoughts, my friend?
Suck it up. It's all we can do right now. You know, and just pray, you know, pray. I think, you know, you have to have a lot of faith in God. You know that, and you and I both have that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We believe that there are, you know, greater things out there that will happen to protect us. And that faith can never be faltered or altered or modified. And that's the one thing, if we have a last message to tell anybody out there, please don't give up prayer.
No.
Don't give up thinking you have no
way out.
Redeeming grace. Yeah, you have no redeeming grace out there. You do. God is a lot more powerful than you realize, and if you let him guide you and you follow, you know, we talked about this last week and we talk about it every week, the faith that you have to believe in to get you through every day.
Absolutely. And remember, folks, this is Christmas time, so I know things may seem bleak and hard, but just remember, the best gift is still out there and it's still free. Keep that in mind. And that gift came to us, whew, 22 years ago. So I'm just going to tell you, that's the one I believe in. Go with that. I wish you all, and Trim Radio Network wishes you all, a very Merry Christmas. Catch us next week. We'll pick up this again. I mean, I'd love talking with Jerry, so we have a ball. Jerry, have a merry, merry Christmas, and I wish you good health, my friend.
You too, and I wish only great things for you. And again, you have a very merry Christmas, as we're saying merry Christmas, not happy holidays.
That's right.
Because we believe in God, and our station is God-based. So take that in consideration. May you all have a very merry Christmas, and thank you for joining us if you did tonight.
God bless, folks. Take care. We are gone.
Good night, Michael.
Good night, Jerry.